Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. I have an exciting guest for you guys. This show is all about living happy, being well, and we have two book authors who've just published a book, and it is I read some bits and parts of it. I'm still reading the whole book. It's really amazing what they've done and accomplished with their movement, and we're gonna go deep with Chelsea Ledger, if I messed up, she's going to correct me, and Thosh Collins. They are the book authors of The Seven Circles, Indigenous Teachings for Wellness Living. So we're going to dive deep into this book. We're going to dive deep into the movement they've created and how it started. And so before we do, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for all organic self-care products. Use code podcast25 for 25% off all leggings. Free shipping in the USA. So before we dive deep with Chelsea and Thosh, I am going to read a bit of a bio on them. Oops. So, authors and activists Chelsea and Thosh are ushering in a new era of wellness and delivering an innovative approach to well-being in the Seven Circles, Indigenous Teachings for Living Well. You can order this book on October 25th this year. Chelsea and Thosh are the founders of Well for Culture, a resilient Indigenous wellness initiative. The Seven Circles is their revolutionary self-help guide in which they offer wisdom for achieving spiritual, physical, and emotional well-being rooted in Indigenous ancestral knowledge. Throughout the guide, Thosh and Chelsea share intimate stories from their life journeys, growing up in tribal communities, from their Indigenous tradition of staying active and spiritually centered through running and dance, to the universal Indigenous emphasis on a light-filled, minimalist home to create sacred space. Along the way, Thosh and Chelsea invite readers to both adapt these teachings to their lives as well as without appropriating and erasing the original context, representing a critical new ethos for the wellness space. Each chapter closes with practical advice on how to engage with the teachings, as well as wisdom for keeping that particular circle in harmony with others. The Seven Circles teaches us how to connect with nature, with our community, with ourselves, and to integrate ancient Indigenous philosophies of health and well-being into our own lives to find healing and balance. So, guys, welcome to the pod. Welcome to the Happy
Thank
Being Well
you.
pod. I
It's
really,
wonderful to be
really,
here. Thank you for having us.
you're welcome. So, I really love the part of like, you guys talk about how to connect with ourselves and of course connecting with community and nature. And I think this is so needed in a discussion in today's society. Everyone's now realizing how important this is because we've kind of like morphed into technology and we've lost that all. Now we're realizing how stress is building up, you know, through the use of excessive technology. Our society's getting faster and faster. And being in a state of prolonged stress and anxiety is now causing all of these, you know, consequences to our health and well-being. So you guys have a fascinating journey. You guys started this project as like a hobby. You didn't realize it was going to take off the way it did. It literally just started as you guys put up a website and you guys just started creating content around wellness and going back to your roots of Indigenous living and what you've learned, experienced. And next thing you know, you guys are traveling and being called to speak to elite universities and to big corporations like Nike and Google. So like, talk to us, like, how did that happen? And like, and just, yeah, and what do people love after learning about your teachings? And because you guys are like embodying it, like you guys grew up in this stuff, like we're all like seeking this ancient wisdom. So go ahead, take it from there, guys.
I would like to also say, yeah, thank you for having us and thank you for the introduction. And I would also like to just to for listeners to give context too. Like there has been like a growing movement in Native American communities and in First Nations communities in Canada. There's been a growing movement about healing and reclamation of our original Indigenous life ways. And so there's been this collective effort that's been happening and really started in the 60s and with the people that the generations that came before us. There was a largely a focus on sobriety from substances, from alcohol, because in our original way, in the cultural way, we didn't have any of those. And most of the health disparities that we're experiencing today, they're all a result of the colonization process of North America. So as Native American Indigenous people today, we're in that process of healing. So there was already really the movement was happening, and we were so we're just contributing to that, you know, from the younger generation. And so we knew that once we created the initiative because we knew that it was greatly needed. But yeah, certainly it did, you know, provide us a lot of opportunity to go and travel and throughout different Native communities and, you know, work with organizations and such. So yeah.
Yeah, I and just to reiterate there too, like I think the reclamation of health and wellness in Indigenous Native American communities has gone hand in hand with our social justice movements, starting with the Red Power movement of the 60s and 70s and into the decades that where Thosh and I were raised, and we've seen so much growth and change and cultural revitalization in our lifetimes. And it's so exciting that now we are able to continue to hone in on these conversations and share them with our communities and with the greater communities at large. And the goal is to hopefully impact the health and well-being of future generations. And we're just so grateful that our ancestral teachings were enough to keep us as individuals grounded and to help us in our own life journeys to get back to this place of prioritizing wellness. Because as you read in the book, certainly our own life journeys haven't always been so smooth. And we hope to continue to move those forward. But yeah, it was definitely, as you said, when we founded Wealth for Culture, we had really just met as friends. And we met because we of our mutual and shared interest in fitness for the most part. And then we continued to have these conversations about how relevant our cultural teachings are in the space of wellness. And we realized that there was nothing like modern and sleek and, that like as a blog or as an Instagram page that talked about decolonizing health or re-indigenizing wellness. And so as for me as a writer, and then for Thosh as a photographer, to kind of each contribute our skills and to create our website and our social media platforms, it truly was a labor of love and completely 100% a hobby that we didn't expect to turn into our job. We certainly didn't expect it to turn into our partnership or our marriage either, but it did.
Well, that is so cool. So you guys started off, you met as friends, and you ended up, embarking on this project and you got married. That's awesome. That
Yeah,
is
years
so cool.
later, we did.
And two kids.
Wow, and two kids. Wow, that was
Yeah.
quite a project you guys embarked on that led to so many that led to so many fruits, for all of us and for you guys. So it's really special. I loved, how you guys started off the chapter. I really loved it. You started off with an example of a woman and her baby girl. She's giving thanks to the harvest of herbs that she has cultivated, and she's giving thanks back to the water because the water, if it wasn't for the water, she wouldn't have been able to harvest and grow those herbs. So her and her baby girl are, grabbing a little pinch of herbs, and the little baby girl went in her mom's little sacket or to grab a little pinch of tobacco and just to kind of put it back into the lake to show their gratitude. And they step into the water, and you guys even have a beautiful picture to depict that as well. And I love that because it's something that, you know, we really, it's such a powerful way to really kind of adopt that way of thinking and being, you know, to really, really, really be grateful for all the little things that lead to the big things that allow mm-hmm. us to achieve big things and allow mm-hmm. us to live, you know, healthy and energized so that we have the energy to, you know, take action in our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was just, I just love it. And something that I've kind of, you know, practice myself. I just always be like, I'm so grateful for the gas in my car because it allows me to go to the grocery yeah. store to get my groceries. And then I'm grateful for the groceries because then I can fuel my body with energy and nutrients. I can come back home right. and, mm-hmm. you know, get work done. And, you know, really, if you just keep going, it's like a domino yeah. effect, yep. right? Yep. And it really, really gives you an appreciation and, you know, for those for gratitude, you really start to yeah. see why we have gratitude. And, right. But it's not only just saying it. In that example, in the women's actually using her, like doing actions to like give thanks to like the nature, mm-hmm. like kind of like an interaction, a communication between mm-hmm. yourself mm-hmm. and nature.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. These expressions of reciprocity are so deeply rooted in our culture. And I love hearing your example too, mm-hmm. of how you apply that in your own life. And I love that it doesn't have to be this, you know, picture of serenity in nature. It can also really be when we're in our car and filling with gas mm-hmm. and going to the grocery store. And that's exactly what we hope that folks will get yeah. out of it, is real world yeah. application to our own lives. And you don't have to be an Indigenous person to begin to practice gratitude in that same way, or to sort of begin to view things with this energy of reciprocity. And I think when we start, it was so important for us to start the book with that visual and in that way, because it really is how we're taught to begin anything in Native communities. It's like, okay, we make an offering or we say some words of thanks. Now we can begin. And there's a really practical purpose to it, which is that when you begin that way, the energy is like good to go, and we can move forward with whatever it is that we're doing, our day, our meal, our session of answering emails. We can move forward in a good way that helps us to be more productive and clear-headed and ready to go.
Yeah, and that practice of gratitude on a daily basis, everything, all that happens within the mind too, right? And that's really a powerful thing to change the brain chemistry and change the brain neurologically to have that outlook on every aspect, you know, of our life, just like with the way you had demonstrated how you practice it on a daily basis here. And that's something that's so critical, and that's a part of the original Indigenous worldview that we're kind of raised around, and we've had to really work to implement it even more in everyday process. And so absolutely, yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. But I just love because it's not just, you know, writing it out, like I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that, or just saying it. You're giving an offering to nature. It's yeah. like this, you know, I think there's something kind of really powerful in that, you know, when you embody your body and you actually, you know, I think it, you start to really, you embody it. I think that's the perfect way to say it. I know when we say things out loud, when we write things out loud, it does, we communicate with our subconscious mind more. And you know, it just strengthens the, you know, we really start to kind of see why yeah. we're grateful for things. But when we actually embody it like that, I think it's just super, super powerful. I think we're just developing a relationship with nature, and nature is all around us. And I think that's what makes it so powerful. I mean, the gasoline came from nature, you know, the gas that we know. So our food, you know, comes from the ground, being grateful for the food and stuff like that. So, you know, you guys had the privilege of growing up in this way of being. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine after growing up, you know, in this way of being, you've embodied it and stuff like that. And then you had to go into like North American way of society, you know, either have you like corporate job or university or, you know, the craziness, the way we live, right? We're always like, you know, in traffic, there's mm-hmm. people honking at you, getting mad, they're getting triggered, or someone's getting triggered, you know, if you, mm-hmm. you in school, like they're stressed out from studying and stuff like that and taking it on you or whatever it is, competition in general, you know, competition mm-hmm. can make us a little cuckoo. Have you found it a challenge when you like reintegrated into, you know, the craziness of our North American society to remain in that holistic way of being?
Well, you know, to be honest, we've actually both grown up in a mix of just mainstream society and also within our cultural and ceremonial practices. You'll find that most Indigenous communities are either close to urban areas or are within urban areas, or even in rural Indigenous communities, we have plenty of exposure to pop culture and mainstream society and all the same things as anybody else. So it's definitely been a mix of both. And like me, for example, I went to a high school where I was one of two Native American students. So I actually experienced I like actually that you stated that we grew up with the privilege of our culture, because mm-hmm. I like for people to recognize Indigenous culture as something that is beautiful and that is worthy of preservation and revitalization. And it's something that is so grounding for Indigenous youth everywhere around the world, really deserve to grow up connected to our cultural practices. And it was a privilege because my grandparents on both sides of my family were subjected to horrible abuse in boarding schools and residential schools that were run by the Catholic Church and by the United States government. And Dosh's lineage, his father and grandparents went to these schools as well. And there was this whole era in United States history where they literally tried to, quote unquote, kill the Indian and save the man, which meant they tried to, there was an effort to eliminate Native American culture and heritage. Our ceremonies were illegal until 1978. So the fact that Thosh and I did grow up with our cultural teachings, because our parents worked very hard to revitalize those and to bring those back into our lives, absolutely is a privilege. And but there was also a struggle with that as well. And so for me, for example, I experienced a lot of racism growing up. And to this day, we see racist comments on our social media all the time. There's so many stereotypes, misconceptions, and negative ideas about who Native people are and what we are, because, you know, they stereotype. There's so many stereotypes out there. Like they think that we don't pay taxes, or that we don't pay for college, or that we get checks from the government, or that we're all alcoholics. And that kind of stuff is unbelievably still prevalent in the dialogue today. You know, this month we're going to see a ton of people walking around dressed as hypersexualized versions of Native American women for Halloween costumes. I mean, they just make a mockery of our culture day in and day out. It's something, you know, Indian mascots are now finally starting to be removed and that sort of thing. So yes, mm-hmm. there's this privilege, all that is to say, but there is also very much a struggle. And mm-hmm. I didn't always have the privilege to be proud of who I was, because I did have to deal with racism and racist comments. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that there was a struggle, to answer your question. There wasn't a struggle to integrate in any way, because we did grow up every day seeing both mm-hmm. parts of this life. Mm-hmm. But I would say there was a struggle to maintain sort of a lot of the values and the teachings that we did learn when yeah. we were in those ceremonial spaces, or when we were in those cultural spaces, because you're absolutely right. Those are difficult things to keep at the forefront when you're exposed yeah. to everything dominant that we're exposed culture. To in this world.
Yeah. Yeah, my community, the reservation I grew up on, the Onakamedo Autumn, the Salt River people, we're actually bordered up with the city of Scottsdale, right outside of the city of Phoenix. So we had a pretty good exposure to to city life and then the reservation, more rural. And so for me, growing up was always like in the community. We were still exposed to a lot of our original practices and our original worldviews as Native people, but we had to go to school in town. We had to, you know, do our jobs in town. And so we're constantly having to navigate to follow our teachings, but navigate it in this crazy world, especially in the heated social political climate that we're living in today. All people in this country are living amongst that. Where we find too is that the values of dominant culture seem to clash with us as what we were raised with as Native people. And that's where we find the challenge of still navigating that and still having to live by the teachings of our ancestral people, but still get along through this world. And so we find that too on social media. We're constantly juggling this, you know, on social media as well.
Mm-hmm. Love that. I love that. And, you know, even with myself, I've embarked on trying to better myself through the mind and studied all these techniques for personal development. And, you know, in your sacred space, you do them. And, you know, it's really a journey, but I didn't grow up, you know, learning that and practicing that every day, right? I think, you know, I started learning that in my mid to late 20s, right? And for most, the primary motive is to, you know, for career success, right? To better control our mind so we have better performance. And then as you progress, you go into different levels. Like there's levels to whether you want to call it enlightenment, self-mastery, emotional mastery, mental well-being, right? You're just achieving ultimately just more inner peace and mental clarity and just being a better human, and which leads to just being more joyful, you know, when we can live in cooperation with fellow man, and most importantly, live in cooperation with nature, which you guys have always been totally in tuned with from day one, living in cooperation and respecting Mother Nature and your fellow man. Which I highly recommend everyone buy the book. So what I'm really curious is, you guys have, you know, you run workshops. And so what do people always walk away with after attending your workshop? Like, what is it like, oh my goodness, like, what's the one thing you guys always hear from your workshop participants?
We hear a lot of different things, and to give a little bit more kind of history for your listeners, we started creating our workshops and trainings in Native country around 2015, and only really in the past like a couple of years have we been branching outward outside of our communities and introducing our model, which we created in 2018, the Seven Circles. We created that then. Only in the past couple of years have we been really trying to branch out and find like appropriate ways to share it with people of all walks of life. And I think that one thing that we kind of commonly hear across the board as far as responses is that we use a lot of visual aid in our workshop. We do a lot of interaction, we do movement, we do all sorts of things and teach people about various breathing, guided visualization, and you know, a lot of talking circle and group dialogue, but we also use a lot of visual aid. And that's how we create Seven Circles in a circular format. Everything that we share is in a circular format. And because they're all interconnected, they're inextricably connected. The spiritual, physical, mental, emotional well-being is enhanced when we are practicing those various life ways in those seven areas. And I think one thing that a lot of people really walk away with is that they're able to see it all tied together. If someone is able to share it with them in a comprehensive way, in a very simple way, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things happen right here. And you do, and it affects you in 1, 2, 3, 4 areas. It's centered, yourself, family, community. So if we're like really breaking it down in structures and numbers and layers of things and showing the visual aid, it gives a lot of people, it paints a picture for many people who weren't able to grow up to see that, you know, because maybe they've experienced lots of grief and trauma, you know, as they were being raised. So I think that that's a lot of thing that we would see is people are, it helps them to kind of see this all as a picture. And what is that supposed to look like? What is living well supposed to look like, and how do I do that? And I think if we mapped it out the way we did, it seems to really resonate with people.
Mm-hmm. One aspect of Indigenous worldview that is very prevalent amongst many different tribal nations is this idea of interconnection and this idea of balance as opposed to perfection. Yeah. And nothing, the way that our ancestors viewed time and distance and everything was not linear, but rather cyclical, goes in a cycle, goes in a circle, and everything is also interconnected. And there's so many tools that our people in different nations use to teach that idea. But we, back when we started Well for Culture and when we began writing the book, what we recognized in the wellness industry in general was this lack of interconnection. And almost every wellness book that we read, it would be organized by pillars or a list where you have these very separate categories and very rigid in some ways. Exactly. And don't get me wrong, we've learned a lot by reading lists and by understanding mm-hmm. people's different pillars of health, but we also think differently. And so we wanted to present something where people can view wellness mm-hmm. kind of how we see it and how we've learned to view life from our cultural teachings.
Mm-hmm. I love so that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's the seven circles, you know, to list what they are is movement, land, community, ceremony, sacred space, sleep, and food. And so those are simply the seven areas of life that Thash and I have identified were areas that helped our people to live in balance and that remain relevant in today's world for anyone, no matter who you are or where you come from. And it just so happens that those are the seven areas that our ancestors had many powerful and unique teachings connected to. And they viewed those areas in, I think, really significant ways that maybe a lot of people in today's world haven't really thought about it in the same way. So that's why we have the seven circles, and they're all interconnected. And we hope that folks can use this as a way to help themselves live in balance, as opposed to having to feel mm-hmm. like they're perfect or like there's some beginning, middle, and end to the wellness journey. And oh, I've finished it. I've done my crash diet. I made my $25 smoothie, and like now I'm good to go. You know, it's really more of a lifelong journey that we're in and mm-hmm. out of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I don't know, for me, it's been like hitting levels. Like, it's like, I'm just kind of graduating, you know, more and more levels, you know, just with, you know, just a deeper understanding, you know, as we go through life and, you know, because we're not going to really get it into like reading one book or, you know, or attending a seminar. You have to keep doing it. You have to keep, you know, because it's like a reprogramming. You kind of have to deprogram and reprogram yourself. You know, like someone like me who's grown up in, you know, North American society, our minds are kind of locked in Hollywood movies. And so, you know, or Hollywood movies or whatever is around us that we pick up, you know, covertly or whatever. So we have to, and also it's like we have to identify all of those wrong messaging that we've picked up subconsciously to kind of be able to kind of identify that programming, to be able to deprogram so that we can reprogram.
Yeah.
So it really is such a ongoing process.
Mm-hmm. And something that we're very candid about in the book is not only sharing our journeys that we've been through, but telling the reader about the areas that we hope to improve upon, mm-hmm. the areas that we're constantly working on in our mm-hmm. own personal lives and in our relationship and in our families and as parents, because truly it would be ridiculous for us to, you know, we even felt a little bit hesitant to write a book at the age that we are. And the first one, I'm 35, Thash is 40. And, you know, we have so much respect for our elders and for the wisdom that they carry, that it feels, you know, it feels like a big step to put mm-hmm. this book out into the world. And mm-hmm. fortunately, we have so many elders that have supported us and that have sort of pushed us toward this and said, mm-hmm. no, you guys, you know, please share mm-hmm. your message. And so we feel comforted by that. And we also feel grateful. You know, some people look at accountability as a burden, but I really look at it as a gift, because our communities are watching us and they're, you know, expecting us to talk about our culture in a way that is appropriate, in a way that is, that does it justice. And having that pressure of accountability, I think, has really helped us to sharpen our tools that we use to teach, mm-hmm. and all of the years of doing workshops has really helped us learn how to talk about wellness in a way that is healing, not harmful to other people. Because wellness and health is a very sensitive topic. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people out there, native, non-native, no matter the culture you come from, there's so many people out there who have been excluded from the conversation, mm-hmm. and who don't feel welcome in that space of talking about fitness and diet and exercise and healing. And what we hope that we've done is created something that everybody feels they are a part of, because we all should be a part of it. It should be inclusive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I really do love the books. So, the pictures are, guys, you have to order the book, look at the pictures. The pictures are fantastic. And not only the pictures, of course, the content, reading it, because it's with each book I read, the stronger my muscle gets when it comes to living well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get new ideas, you get more inspired to adopt a new particular technique or habit into your life, or expanding your perspective on living, a wellness lifestyle as well. Because there's so many components to it. It really is kind of mastering a puzzle piece, one puzzle piece at a time, to kind of, right? Now in the book, what I love what you guys wrote too was, and I was like, really, is this true? You said that no matter who you are or what you're doing, you can achieve balance. And I was like, what? Is that true? Is it possible to achieve balance, in our, society that's just getting faster and faster with the advancement of technology? So can you explain a simple way? How is that? Is it because it's just the way we're thinking? Because maybe we're complicating everything a little too much? How is it possible for anybody to achieve balance?
Well, I think the second that we accept imbalance as a part of being in balance, imbalance as a part of being in balance, is when we are able to achieve that. And to know that, you can visualize these seven circles, these seven areas of your health that branch out from you, and accept the fact that on one day, maybe I didn't get the best sleep, or I didn't get outdoors at all, but I was sure active in my community and taking care of my kids and in my ceremonial practice of doing my meditation in the morning, or of my movement practice. And I did, a weight training session and so on and so forth. And then the next day, maybe the other three go out of whack and the other three come back into play. And it's we constantly ebb and flow, not just from day to day, but also to different seasons of life. Mm-hmm. And we hope that people, rather than this mentality of this is the diet, this is the plan, and if you fall off or if you cheat, don't quit the diet, that kind of stuff. Because then we just feel, I'm going to start all over again. Mm-hmm. We messed up.
It's guilt.
It's really eliminating all of that and just going, okay, these are the seven areas. And just every day, just kind of return to these areas. Come back to the center, return to these areas, reincorporate. And you get in the habit of doing that every day of your life. Next thing you know, you feel pretty balanced.
And it teaches us, I think, it teaches us too, not to internalize the guilt, which we know can hurt us even more, and to be okay with knowing that, last night I didn't get enough sleep. So maybe today I'm not as active. Maybe today I'm, really making it a point to meditate or to be outside on the land and to experience silence, to kind of take the day easy. And, you're just kind of changing things up. And then another day you get better rest. Oh, today I can go on that long hike. I can go and do an extra longer session today in the home gym or the gym or the yoga studio or wherever it is. And I think that, we have to be okay with being okay when we go off track, when we are falling a little bit out of balance and harmony. And I think that, again, that teaches us really not to internalize the guilt and not to compare ourselves, to others out there, but to recognize that our healing and wellness journey is very unique, and it's our journey only, and how the pace at which we go at it is up to us and no one else around us right here. And So, you know, I think that it's, you know, it's very much that. And it's a lot like what you say, like as we continue to go and we, our life experience increases, we find other ways to help us to achieve that balance and harmony. And in the book, we write about that. There's a phase of learning, engaging, and then optimizing these various life practices to really serve one. And I think that that's a really important structure that people should know about when they are implementing new life ways into their daily practice. You know, they're learning about something, then they're experimenting with it, then maybe they found what works, and now they're being able to optimize it and they're being able to experience the benefits of that. So it's like what you say, ebb and flow, and it's a continual journey. And I think that it helps with the mind. It starts with the mind if people know that there's no finish line to healing and wellness, that we are constantly on this journey. We are constantly being presented with obstacles that we have to have the tools to be able to overcome those obstacles to stay spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally well. And we have to know where we are going. We have to have that vision of ourselves in the future. How am I going to think, feel, and act tomorrow? Mm-hmm. How am I going to think, feel, and act about the world in 10 years or to when I'm an elder? How am I going to think and feel and act? And every day, I believe, is about stepping into getting closer to that. And that's why, you know, our seven circles is sort of a template that can be loosely applied to someone's life to achieve that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Yeah, everybody, I highly, highly encourage you guys all to purchase the book. The publisher is HarperCollins, and it is a fantastic book. And we're just kind of skimming through the basic ideas of the book. You know, get the book, read it, go in depth to what they discuss, you know, pick up some new inspiration and get some more education into your wellness journey so you can live happy being well. You know, coming from, you know, two people who actually were raised in it, born in it, and, you know, lived it. And I think that's just really, really powerful that you've guys embarked on this journey. And then you're sharing that, those teachings with, you know, all of us. I think it's amazing. And you guys are amazing. And I really, really applaud what you guys are doing. Really, truly, I think that, you know, more and more people need to embark on this journey, you know, and really kind of, you know, listening to podcasts like this, reading books like yours, going to workshops, like, so that it's really an ongoing process to embody a wellness lifestyle, really, truly, mentally, physically, and spiritually, you know, to have that integration. And so I thank you guys for, you know, putting in the work to develop the content, to share it with the rest of the world. That is truly, truly remarkable. And I appreciate, you know, everybody, people like you that do that. So you're spreading more enlightenment around the world, one book at a time, one workshop at a time. And so what's the website? What's your website that everyone can go to purchase the book? I know right now it's pre-order sales. And to learn about you guys and to work with you guys or sign up for workshops. What's your website for that?
Wellforculture.com. They can find all of our social media there. And there's some blog posts there with some upcoming in-person events in Phoenix and Portland, Oregon. And then there's also the cover page. You can pre-order the book right there from HarperCollins or whatever a major book vendor outlet that people usually purchase. And we encourage everyone to go to their local bookstore and support the local bookstores as well.
And you can also find us on Instagram. That's probably the platform that we're most active on. We share a page called Well for Culture. And then we also have our individual pages that you can find from there. And podcast. I just would like to say that for anybody who is sober curious or for who's interested in unconventional ideas about parenting or who wants to learn more about how they can connect to the land, even if they're living in an urban area, how they can get better sleep. I mean, there's so many different aspects of health and healing that we cover within this book. And I really believe that there's something for everyone. So I really hope that everybody enjoys it. And thank you so much for having us. We've been listening to your episodes and we really love your podcast. And it's been a pleasure here to visit with you today.
Yeah, thanks
thank
for having
you.
Us.
We're thank just honored you. That,
yeah. Yeah. We're honored that you see our book is something is a tool that everyone can benefit from. So thank you for that. Thank you for your interest and thank you for the interview.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. And guys, all the website link will be in the show notes. So depending upon what platform you're listening on, click on it if it's clickable. If not, copy and paste it, put it into your web browser and check out their website, follow them on Instagram, and most importantly, purchase the book. It really is a good book. Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for, contributing and showing up on the Happy Being Well podcast and sending lots of love and light to you guys and all the listeners. Live happy, being well. Until next time, guys.